The American presidency represents a remarkable paradox in governance. When Harry Truman found a note on his desk reading, "The buck stops here," he inherited not just an office, but a fundamental tension that defines American democracy. We demand accountability from our presidents while simultaneously limiting their power through elaborate checks and balances. This carefully calibrated office has evolved dramatically since its creation, yet remains anchored to its constitutional foundations. Barack Obama called it the most powerful job in the world, yet presidents from Jefferson to Biden have discovered its profound limitations. The presidency exists in a perpetual state of tension, powerful enough to lead a superpower, yet constrained enough to preserve democratic principles. How do you design leadership powerful enough to govern effectively without enabling tyranny? This fundamental challenge faced the Founding Fathers in 1787. Their solution, separating powers to promote unity, created an unprecedented office. The title president was chosen from presidere, to preside, rather than governor, which evoked hated colonial rulers. George Washington's character proved crucial to this experiment. His reputation as the general who defeated the British and then voluntarily relinquished power reassured a nation suspicious of executive authority. The presidency evolved through four phases at the convention, from a Congress-selected executive to an independently elected one with significant authority. The Electoral College emerged as a compromise, balancing competing interests while establishing separation of powers. Pierre Charles L'Enfant's design of the federal city reinforced these principles by placing over a mile between the executive and legislative branches, an architectural embodiment of American governance. Three competing visions emerged at the convention: Hamilton's presidential presidency with executive dominance, Anti-Federalists' congressional presidency dependent on legislative will, and a separated presidency with shared powers. The convention chose the third, creating an independently elected president with substantial but checked powers, requiring Senate approval for appointments and treaties, and congressional support for military actions. The founders created our electoral system rather than direct presidential elections, a modified democratic arrangement that shapes national politics. Early elections revealed flaws, leading to the 12th Amendment requiring separate balloting for president and vice president after the chaotic 1800 election. This selection process has evolved continuously. Congressional caucuses yielded to national conventions starting in 1831. Presidential primaries expanded significantly after the 1968 Democratic Convention, where Humphrey secured nomination without entering primaries while popular anti-war candidates were marginalized. The constitutional structure has molded political parties into loose, election-focused organizations rather than ideological entities. Since 1856, competition has primarily been between Democrats and Republicans, with both adapting to the separation of powers. This separation has produced frequent split-party control, occurring 75% of the time between 1969-2009, compelling presidents to seek cross-party support for their agendas. Imagine taking over an organization with 4 million employees in just 10 weeks. That's the presidential transition challenge. New administrations enter an already functioning government where most operations are defined by existing programs and personnel. When leadership positions empty throughout government, trapezoid-like structures emerge where triangular hierarchies once existed. This creates a perpetual ordeal for presidents who must quickly learn enough about Washington's permanent institutions to effectively direct them. With post-World War II presidential terms averaging just 5.6 years, shorter than one Senate term, a fundamental asymmetry exists between temporary presidents and the permanent institutions they lead. Presidents must fill positions requiring Senate advice and consent, from cabinet secretaries to regulatory commissioners. cabinet diversity has transformed dramatically. From 1945 to 1977, 97% of secretaries were white men, while after 1989, diversity became standard practice, with women and minorities increasingly appointed to top positions. The core challenge stems from the difference between campaigning and governing. Campaigns are us versus them contests, centered on a single candidate with a clear endpoint, while governing is a thousand-ring circus requiring incremental progress and coalition building. After forming a presidency and securing Senate-confirmed appointments, presidents must create coherence among diverse appointees while White House staff monitor departmental implementation of priorities. Why do presidents get blamed for everything that happens in government? As the only nationally elected leader and chief of the bureaucratic branch, presidents are held accountable for an increasingly vast government, spanning 15 cabinet departments, dozens of independent establishments, and numerous agencies, boards, and commissions. The management challenge is staggering. Federal employment approaches 4 million people, civilian and military combined, equivalent to Los Angeles's population, all ultimately managed by just 2 elected executives. Presidents must connect with various entities over which they have different degrees of control, from cabinet departments where they have direct authority to independent agencies where they have less influence. This challenge was recognized as early as 1937 when a presidential committee concluded the president needs help. As one public management scholar noted, no modern president has fully managed the executive branch. Presidents fail as managers because they seem to have little appetite for that task. Despite these limitations, presidents must still direct this vast enterprise, using tools like centralized budget control and program clearance as enforcement levers. Those failing to meet presidential expectations can be removed, as when Presidents Clinton and Bush fired cabinet secretaries who underperformed. What makes some presidents more effective than others? Presidential leadership styles vary dramatically based on backgrounds and temperaments. Johnson, with 24 years in Congress, worked as a majority leader president, masterfully building support for Great Society programs. Nixon functioned as a foreign minister president, focusing primarily on international issues. Reagan, the actor president, delegated details and embraced reasonable compromise. Presidential influence varies across policy categories. Fresh initiatives typically originate from the executive, especially early in administrations. Most government programs grow incrementally through expanded eligibility. Major reforms carry significant political risks, as demonstrated by failed health care and Social Security reform efforts. Crisis response gives presidents their greatest authority, with the executive expected to lead while Congress follows. The policy process involves multiple phases: problem definition, agenda designation, option formulation, program legitimation, implementation, and evaluation. Presidents play crucial roles in defining problems and setting agendas, though their effectiveness depends on governing philosophy, issue complexity, and opposition strength. The American presidency serves as a leadership mechanism, managing the executive branch while collaborating with legislative and judicial branches. Despite evolution over time, understanding the presidency still begins with the Constitution's separation of powers framework, where independent officials make, administer, and evaluate laws interdependently. A fundamental tension defines the presidency. We demand presidents solve pressing problems while simultaneously limiting their power. E. Pendleton Herring observed, "We have created a position of great power, but have made the full realization of that power dependent on influence rather than legal authority." This balance between power and constraint defines presidential leadership. The presidency remains America's most fascinating political institution because it embodies our deepest democratic tensions: our desire for strong leadership, tempered by commitment to limited government, and our need for decisive action balanced against fear of unchecked power. This carefully calibrated office reflects our complex relationship with authority and our ongoing experiment in self-governance.